It was. Woo! At that point, we were living in Jackson, Mississippi for a year of voluntary service with Voice of Calvary Ministries, and we had 6 youth in our house from 6 different backgrounds.
We had 8.
8. Sorry about that. Thank you. 6 plus the 3 of us, yeah, plus Joanne and I and Treva. Yes. And when you got that many people together from different backgrounds and walks of life, we had to have our rap sessions on Monday nights. So we sat down and talked about issues and things that were going on in the unit. So we won't go into further into that, but it was an experience that helped shape our lives until we returned to heaven. Until we go to heaven, not return. Well, that wasn't my subject, but we were there to serve, right, dear? We were there to serve. The year of 1980, we were in Jackson, Mississippi to serve through Voice of Calvary Ministries and our unit life, as well as serving Jesus Christ as the main goal. Serving others. Well, that's my responsibility today, is talking about serving others from Acts 2. Acts 2, serving others through Pentecostal power. Pentecostal provisions, and that one of them is power. And we are going to be reading some scriptures, one scripture for now, and we're not looking at reading the whole chapter. You can do that. We're going to read up until the sermon starts. So we're going to hear read for us from Acts 2, 1 to 6. Acts 2, I'm sorry, 1 to 13. Acts 1 to 13. Acts 2, 1 to 13. Did I say that right? Acts 2. That's what your paper says.
I'm going to read what the paper says. Chapter 2 of Acts. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not these those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Pontus and Asia, and Phrygia and Pamphylia, and Egypt and parts of Libya beyond belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocked, saying, 'They are filled with new wine.'"
Thank you. Aren't you glad you did that one, Chuck?
I'm glad.
No. So this morning, if I read any scriptures, they're going to be read from the Living Bible. That's an unusual thing, but this time I'm using a Living Bible instead of the King James. So some of you might not recognize me reading that. So as we look at Pentecostal provisions here, the new temple of the new covenant was to be a spiritual temple, not a material temple, not material. A spiritual temple is where? In our hearts. In our hearts. That's where that is. In humans' hearts, both individually and collective. Instead of consecrated buildings, we're looking at consecrated, spirit-filled lives, beings. The day of Pentecost was different, and there were five annual religious celebrations in Israel's calendar. Passover, Pentecost, Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles. So, how long do you want to be here? The first is Passover, which is commemorated Israel's exodus from where? Out of Egypt. Out of Egypt. Why were they there? Yes. Yes. They got to be slaves there eventually. But on tomorrow after the Sabbath of Israelites were to offer before the Lord a sheaf of first fruits. As the lamb of the Passover typified our Lord in his death, so the sheaf of the first fruits offered on the first day of the week typified him in his resurrection. Now is Christ risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians 15:20. From that first day, the Israelites were to count 50 days. And on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, the day of the first day of the week, they were to observe Pentecost. When was Pentecost? Last Sunday was the 50 days since Easter. 50th means on that day there were two loaves of bread, the first fruits that were presented. In Pentecost, the first fruits had now become the bread of life to men, to us, to be received how? Inwardly. We were taking it inwardly, is what the scriptures say. This corresponds to exactly 50 days after our Lord's resurrection as the first fruits and the glorious fullness of his life and power that came down in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the first day of the week, over 2,000 years ago. As we look here, let's look at some notable parallels. And you know, when you have a hurt finger and you try to turn pages, it doesn't work so good. Okay. God brought Israel out of Egypt on the 14th day of Nisan, Exodus 12, and you can read through that. They were at night. They went at night. Remember how they were to gather all these things? And what were they to put on the door, above the door? Blood. So there had to be something killed for that. Meanwhile, Pharaoh was apprised that all those had been serving him, serving others, serving him, were gone. They left. So, what does he do? He's going after his labor department. He's going after them. And of course, the children of Israel weren't on horses and chariots and things. They were walking. Took them a lot longer. But they overtook them. And we know the story. The following night, Israel crossed the Red Sea. 3 days after the Passover was a wonderful picture of resurrection to new life and freedom after what? After deadly servitude. These people were serving for years and years, and a lot of people died through that servitude because it was not. It reminds me of in Russia, Siberia, where they'd send people off to work. And it wasn't pleasant, according to what I understand. It was very severe. But 40 days later, on the first day of the third month, they were where? At Mount Sinai, we find them. Then 3 days after that, in a cloud of glory, Jehovah descended. For 6 days and on the seventh day, 50 days after the Red Sea crossing, God called Moses. God called Moses to him to do what? To give him a pattern for the tabernacle. And we know that Moses and God had a special relationship. Not everybody was called to lead those children of Israel, those unique creatures, those complaining folk, et cetera, et cetera, of all that we also sometimes act like. So 50 days exactly after the Red Sea, God brought in a new dispensation, commenced the pattern of the tabernacle, which he was going to indwell. That was going to be his dwelling place. The method and scheme to which God carries out his purposes toward man. So, just 40 days and 10 from our Lord's resurrection, Pentecost brought this new dispensation of the Spirit of God and began to form on earth the new spiritual sanctuary which he was going to indwell, even the church. Yes, how many people were gathered together on the day of Pentecost in that upper room? Any numbers? 120. 120 were gathered together in that upper room. I believe that our individual experience of the Spirit's infilling usually begins with a day of Pentecost in our lives. Think about it. In our soul, when in utter yieldedness to Christ by faith we appropriate it. We say, Lord, I want you to be in my life. Now we make that decision when the Spirit calls us, but we also know that we have some growing to do from the time we say yes to Jesus. But we have Jesus who's going to guide us and give us wisdom and strength as we are yielded and as we are committed to him. So my thought here is that there are significant circumstances. There's 3 points that we want to look at. Significant circumstance that took place here in Acts 2. We had it read for us. What took place? They were in one accord. They were in one accord. Wow. There's going to be a lot of family get-togethers in these days. I'm not sure if we're always in one accord. But there was a band of praying Christians. They all continued in one accord in prayer. This praying is never to be forgotten feature of the transforming Pentecost. That's the key. We see that prayer was the key to this Pentecostal power. What were they told to do? They were told to stay there till the Spirit comes. I think, you know, in my own words, they were to stay there. It was prayer which made the human vessel ready to receive divine infilling, to go forth and to serve. And we see that this whole thing took place, and they started to not stay there, but they left and they went out to a whole lot of places. So we see they were going forth to serve. As it was then, so it is now, waiting on God in trying and testing, believing prayer is all that which God honors and on which blessings fall. Also, they continued praying together. They're praying together now. Before that, they were riddled with strife and discord. Think about it. You go back. You know there were some that wanted to sit beside Jesus on the throne. They wanted to be right there with him, and many other things that took place that'll jog your minds. But that had left. They were in one accord. What a blessing to see that. There had been strife and competitiveness before, but this was gone. They were all down before God in unifying humility and adoration. Intercession. Twice we see the record says that they were with one accord. It was prayer and oneness that prepared the way for the big thing to happen. The big thing. In their praying, they were pleading a clear promise of the Master's promise of the immersing Spirit from Acts 1:5-8. And go home and read first chapter of Acts sometime today if you can. But look at that and see what was taking place. Also, for the first time, they were practicing the unique kind of prayer that Jesus taught in his name. Somebody has John 16. Who has that? 16, 20, 23 to 28.
In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father.
Thank you. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. He loves me. They saw Jesus ascend. There were new feelings of familiarity with heaven as they stood there and saw Jesus ascend to the Father to be my advocate, to be my mediator. God was no longer just a vast infinity. As they looked to heaven, they saw God looking down on them through a human face. 2 Corinthians 4:6-10.
For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body.
Thank you, Chuck. That was a lot easier. The new year of praying in my name had begun. They were on covenant ground with God. They were on covenant ground with God through the blood of Calvary and the ascended mediator advocate on that ascension day. Think about it. In my name, we go to Jesus knows, God knows what we want because of Jesus providing that way to open up that avenue in my name. Now the place where this circumstance took place, it filled all the house where they were sitting. And the Greek word indicates it was a house, not a temple. Now of course we know the magnificent temple with its ordinances and appointments all speaking of the old covenant were bypassed. Again, let me note this. The time when the heavenly invasion came, it was on the 10th day of their continual praying. The 10th day of continual prayer. In the scripture, 10 marks a complete round. Perseverance in prayer was given a full round of testing. One wonders if impetuous Peter found the 8th and 9th day rather taxing to his faith. Had something gone wrong? Why did the promise not come? How about in your life and in my life? How long have you been praying? The Lord only knows all that goes into all this. Yes, And yet there was no suggestion that there was anything but quiet determination, but to wait on God until the window of heaven opened and the promised power came. As we're here this morning, some of us, it's easier for us to wait. Some of us want it to happen now and even before that. They want it to happen. Wait, I say on the Lord, and wait for Him to provide His power. How all these things challenge you and I today. How many of us miss the big blessings because we do not wait the 10 days? And probably more than 10 days for some of us in some things. Secondly, let's look at the significance of the characteristics that are laid out here in Acts 2. As we read Luke's account here, that long ago Pentecost, we see the sign and symbols, which is, it is characterized. When it happened suddenly. First, there was a rushing sound from heaven. I don't believe there was a gale sweeping through the city that early morning and swirling noisily around the house corners like it used to do in our old house where I grew up, and the windows were very tight and we'd get some winter weather and the winds were blowing. You'd hear it whistling around, and sometimes you even saw a little snow blowing in the window and make a little drift. No, I believe this was a downward, directly something, a downwards from God. The noise was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And when I hear that, I have to think of these people who are in tornado paths, in hurricane paths. Tornadoes, I guess, is when you hear it most. It sounds like a freight train coming. And the wind is, the sound is that great. Think about that. What could more aptly symbolize the boundless, resistless, sweeping, overwhelming almightiness of the Spirit to envelop believers in power and to overthrow the strongholds of evil? What could more aptly symbolize the boundless, resistless, sweeping, overwhelming almightiness of the Spirit to envelop believers in power and to overthrow strongholds of evil? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The room air was still, but the sound awful as a hurricane. Next, there was the appeared where the cloven tongues like as fire. Beside wind, for volume and power, there was fire for intensity. Fire to search, to purify, and refine. We know that when you're making pure gold, you don't just heat it up and pour it off one time. It's heated up many times over to get the impurities floated out of it. The fire was not shapeless. It was a flame. It came as a cloven tongue. A cloven tongue would have two, one base, but two flames going out from it. It was a cloven tongues or a cloven foot. Thirdly, let's look at the significant consequences. What realities were behind the symbol? First, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What heavenly love, joy, peace must have flooded their souls? When we think about the fellowship with God, it must have been theirs to be there to experience that. Next, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Think about that. The Scripture says about there were people from all over the place gathered together, all around, and David went through those and read those words for us, and all those places where people had come from. And yet, they were hearing what Peter was saying in their own tongue. They began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave utterance. What power with men they gave them, even when they were speaking in their own tongue. And we know Peter In his great address to the men of Israel, the Spirit gave them utterance so that they would hear what he was saying. Earlier, we have these disciples who were going, went to a room because they were afraid they were going to get killed. They were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. But we see a transformation taking place. It went from timidness to boldness to make Jesus known. The doubts and the jitters had been ousted by the certainty that Jesus is risen and is alive and is in control. As we see this mighty tidal wave of Pentecost coming forth. Finally, we see the evangelistic impact taking place here. They showed apprehension. They showed fear. The same Peter who went before a little girl, however big, and said, "I don't know that guy that you're talking about." He had cold feet, shrinked away. He faltered. Here he was on this that's what happened on the crucifixion eve with this servant girl. Now faces a congregation of thousands on that Pentecostal morn. On the same day there were added 3,000 souls, the scriptures tell us. Why are those things so different today? Preach 10 days, pray a few hours, and maybe have one or two converts. Well, maybe we need to have 10 prayer meetings first before. But think about the power that is in prayer. As I said earlier, the key to this whole Pentecostal thing is that they continued in prayer throughout the time. Let me close with this. When our God beholds us there, pleading in the place of prayer, then the flag of truth prevails, foes slink back, and Satan quails. Bring us, Lord. Yea, keep us there, where we learn prevailing prayer. When our God beholds us there, pleading in the place of prayer, then the flag of truth prevails, foes slink back, and Satan quails. Bring us, Lord, yea, keep us there, when we learn prevailing prayer. Let us join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you because your Son, our Savior, through your plan of redemption, has opened a way so that we can come and pray in your name. We can communicate with you without having to go through someone else. Father God, open our hearts and our minds to your Spirit's moving in our lives. Thank you, Father, for what we heard this morning in the prayer and praise time. Thank you, Lord, for attuned people to your Spirit's unction in our lives, so that throughout this coming week, we would also let others know who you are in our lives. Forgive us, Lord, where we have failed and come short of doing that which you have called us to. But may the strongholds of sin be broken down, and may we have the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.